1.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, from where we're airing tonight. Also with us, our good friend and good old-time gospel preacher Frank Briscoe, who preaches for the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas, is running our board and answering our phone lines tonight, and he will be invaluable to us through the program with various information he passes on to us. Did you know that about 4,000 children are murdered every day? Did you know that about 1.5 million children are murdered every year in the United States of America? Did you know that since 1973, there have been over 65 million children murdered? And my friends, all of this takes place under the guise of what is called today abortion. I mention that tonight because we are now in an election year, a year in which we're going to pick, select, vote for our next president. And you know, when people are usually looking at the president and who they want to lead our country, people are usually concerned with their pocketbook, the kind of health care they may have. They may be concerned about whether or not our United States has proper defense. But let me suggest unto you that the thing that should be the most important to us is the moral issues and what God thinks about our country. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 34, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Solomon also said in Proverbs 16 and verse 12, it is an abomination to kings to commit righteousness, for the throne is established by righteousness. I find it very interesting that the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 172, that God's word is righteousness. And so the question that we want to ask ourselves tonight about our candidates, what is their view on abortion? What does the Bible say about abortion? Abortion, is it a woman's right or is it murder? What does God's word tell us about this? And what is at stake for the country and for the church? What do we need to be concerned about, most of all concerning our political leaders? And I suggest unto you, one of those things is the idea of abortion. Are they for it or are they against it? David, tell us tonight where we're airing from.
Okay, we are airing and broadcasting from KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford Canyon in the Amarillo area, KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville, KOME 95.3 out of Glen Rose, and we are also airing up in the Lubbock and Panhandle area, KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock, and KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. We are on the World Wide Web. It is live. It is the GospelRadioNetwork.org. You can also get there by going to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and just click onto the microphone. It'll send you to that GospelRadioNetwork.org. And you can pick us up anywhere, even on your iPhone. And this program tonight is going to be rebroadcast tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Tuesday at this very website, the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible or the Gospel Radio Network. Now, our motto on this program is, you have heard what men have said, now hear what the Bible has to say. And that's what our purpose is here. We hear an awful lot about what comes from the mind of men, but what we want you to know is what comes from the mind of God. We will give you a Bible answer for a Bible question. This is a live call-in program. We encourage you to pick up the phone and call in. We'll pick up the tab. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Just spell it out. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. One more time. 1-855-Q as in questions, A as in answers, B-I-B-L-E. We can also receive your questions on the email at questions, plural, questions at harrisonmoore.org. This will go to my personal inbox and also the inbox of Tom Moore. And we will give you a Bible answer for your question, your comment. You can get on this on the GospelRadioNetwork.org, and there is a chat room in there, and you can log on there at the chat room, and you can give us your questions or your comments there on the chat room as well. We'll be looking at that throughout the program and try to get you an answer and incorporate that into our program tonight if it's a possibility. There are archived programs on our website. If you go to the harrisonmoore.org or the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, you can find the archived programs. They are listed there and categorized as well and as to date and topic. And so we encourage you to get in contact with us. We have listeners from India, Australia, New Zealand, and many in the United States of America, and we love to hear from our local audiences as well. And if you will, please contact us some way or another. We would love to hear from you, especially if you pick up the phone. Tom, I would like to read a passage of Scripture that we need to deal with a little bit here. Concerning the election of our representatives. In the 24th chapter of the book of Proverbs, and for those of you who are listening, I would encourage you to take a Bible and look at this. We want you to see what the Word of God has to say. The 24th chapter of the book of Proverbs, in verse number 11, it says, "If you forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if you forbear to deliver them, if you say, behold, we knew it not, does not he, God, that ponders the heart, consider it? And he, God, that keeps your soul, does he not know it? And shall not he, God, render to every man according to his work?" Now, Tom, what this tells me is if we don't do our part in helping deliver the innocent those that are drawn to death, those that are ready to be slain, if we don't do our part in delivering them, then we're going to have to face the wrath of God. And he says here very plainly, if you say, behold, we knew it not, does he that ponders the heart, does he not consider that? Does he not know that? And so when we look at a representative to represent us, whether it be our president or a congressman, senator, whatever, if we don't, if we say we didn't know, that is absolutely no excuse with God.
Exactly right. And that puts an obligation on us as Christian people to check out the candidates.
Absolutely.
And you know, David, it's really pretty easy to do. You know, people, I don't, you know, I'm not real into politics. I don't really know how to do all this stuff. It's pretty easy to do. All you got to do is type in their name. And most everybody nowadays has an iPhone or a computer. It's easy to type in a name and to find out what the candidate's platform is, what they believe. Now, David, if you were going down the road and you were speeding and a policeman pulled you over, let's say you were going 70 in a 50-mile-an-hour zone, and he pulled you over, and he says, you're speeding, son. And I said, well, I didn't realize I was speeding. Is he going to let you off just because you did not know you were in a lower speed limit zone?
No.
He's not. And so just because a person thinks that they do not know and then therefore are not required or not going to be held accountable for not knowing is not going to hold water with regard to how we vote, especially in light of the fact that God is going to hold us accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really do think, David, that a lot of people are voting for president just simply Republican or Democrat and have no idea what they believe, especially in the moral realm.
Well, if you look at the news and you believe some of the people that are interviewed over this and a lot of these young people are following some of these Democratic candidates, and they ask them, why are you voting for this candidate? And they say, well, they're going to give me free school.
Mm-hmm.
It's all an economic thing. It's an economic issue. Whatever, what can you give me for my vote? But that's not what God's talking about here. He's talking about the moral issue of forbearing to deliver an innocent individual that is going to be slain.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
Hello, Tom. This is Rusty.
Hey, Rusty.
This is real quick. My battery's almost dead. I'm out of minutes.
All right, Rusty.
Okay, I know y'all are familiar with that Strong's Exhaustive.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, that major big old concordance?
Yeah.
Well, my name here is 300 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there, that word abortion is there. And it's in the King James Bible. It's one of the blessings that if the Israelites did what God said, they wouldn't suffer abortions.
Well, I am going to look that up real quick.
Okay.
To check you
well,
out.
Well, now,
here.
My question, oh, it's there. My question is, if you do abortions anyway, do you lose God's blessing? Well, that's just logical, right?
Well, we're going to give you another passage of Scripture that you can take home with you. And this one leaves absolutely no doubt about what God thinks about killing the innocent that are being carried in the womb. This one, you may not be familiar with this. It's kind of in an obscure place, but God holds people accountable for this kind of thing. And you know, Rusty, what we are seeing here is that people don't know, and some people just flat don't care about what our representatives think about killing babies. They just don't care, Rusty, and that should be a source of concern for all of us to get the word out.
Well, it seems kind of bloodthirsty. I mean, it's like these activists are like, they just love killing babies. I mean, it's it seems bloodthirsty to me. I got to hang up, gentlemen, because my battery is just almost, it's beeping at me.
Well, you keep listening, Rusty. We appreciate you calling.
I am. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Bye. Yes, sir. Good point that he's got. I don't know that the word abortion is in there.
I looked it up, and I could not find in the King James translation anywhere. I ran a computer check on it real quick, and it didn't pop up. But we'll keep looking and see what we can find in that area. But, you know, Dave, we talk about the idea of abortion and how that our nation is getting so far away from God and are more concerned with their own pocketbook and their own way of making money. But, you know, David, this is really nothing new. Because way back in biblical times, in the time of the minor prophets, a prophet by the name of Amos, notice what he says in Amos chapter 1.
Now, by the way, he is contemporary with Isaiah, just for one.
Yeah. And it's interesting to me that his name means burden bearer. So he's got a burden to bear.
Right.
And notice one of the things that he says, speaking for the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, yea, for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they may enlarge their borders. Now, David, here Amos says they're involved in the killing of these children in the mother's stomach, right?
Right.
Pregnant women. For what reason?
Economic gain. To enlarge their border. Economic gain.
That sounds really familiar, doesn't it, David?
Well, sure it does.
We have a lot of people, for example, in Planned Parenthood who are performing abortion. Well, let's say what it really is. Who are murdering children still in the womb for a profit.
Yes. Well, not only for a profit, but we were actually looking up not too long ago, before this program, one of the main reasons that was given by women for having an abortion was the economic aspect of it. That was the premier main reason, was the economic aspect of it. The number one reason, if you put it all together, it had to do with money.
Now, we've got a quote here from a bill that Obama vetoed. Would that not fit in here right now? Did he not veto that for a certain reason?
Yes, he did. We were going to get to that in just a moment. Ben, you brought it up. There was a bill. It was the House Bill 31. Let me see here. It's 3134, I believe it was. And bill was a bill, and it was called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. And this thing, all in the world it says, is to exercise the same degree of care as reasonably provided to any other child that is born alive at the same gestation age, and to ensure that such a child is immediately admitted to a hospital. The term born alive means a complete expulsion or extraction from his or her mother at any stage of development, who after such expulsion or extraction breathes, has a beating heart, the pulsating of the umbilical cord, or a definite movement of voluntary muscles, regardless of whether the umbilical cord has been cut.
Now, you look at that, David, that is something anybody in their right mind will say, well, of course, we want to protect that child. It's out of the womb, it's living, it's breathing, it's moving. Who would not want to protect a child like that, that even weighs up, can weigh up to 6 pounds?
Yeah. Okay, well, here's the deal. Because the child was a part of an abortion procedure
that failed, right?
That failed. Here is what President Obama had to say about it. He said, that it would have the same consequences of limiting women's health care choices. He vetoed it. He would not pass. He refused to sign the bill. And he says by eliminating federal funding for a major provider of health care, the bill, 3134, would limit access to health care for men, women, and families across the nation and would disproportionately impact low-income individuals. And then he goes on to say it would impose a new legal requirement relating to the provision of abortion services in certain circumstances, which would likely have a chilling effect, reducing access to care.
So it all, again, David, boils down to economics, doesn't it?
Economics.
And it's not whether or not that is a human life or not. It's whether or not a person can get the health care that they want and get rid of something they don't want. It has nothing to do with life, morality, and what God says. It's all about economics, and that's exactly what was going on in Amos chapter 1, verse 13, wasn't it?
Exactly, exactly. It was all for an economic boost on one side or the other. But we get back to Proverbs chapter 24.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, we've got people that are running for office that are going to represent you. They're going to represent me. They're going to represent our callers. They're going to represent our people that are listening here. And now, all of a sudden, we must know what their views are on this position, because he says there, if you forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death. Now, the description that we have for that House bill, that shouldn't have even come into consideration. The whole thing should have been a matter of logic. You don't kill a live baby. But he says here, if you forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if you say, behold, we didn't know it, does not God that ponders the heart consider it? And does not God keeps your soul, does he not know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works? We are going to be held responsible for voting for people who are ready to slay these children.
Exactly right. And I find it interesting that the English Standard Version has the idea of rescuing in that scenario.
Rescue.
And so that's important for us to realize. Now, the number to call tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE, the number to call. Now, David, when we think about this idea of abortion, you know, we've been looking at this for 3 weeks now, and our whole theme was really abortion. Is it a woman's right, or is it murder? I think we have already established that everybody has a right, but everyone has a right to choose or not to choose, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot use our right to violate God's law. For example, you know, we can choose to murder, right, if we want to. Isn't that a right of ours to choose?
Yeah, we could.
We could, but that's not the right thing to choose, right?
No.
In all this scenario about abortion, a woman's right, one thing that is never mentioned is the baby's right. Isn't that interesting? It's like the baby has no right, the woman has all the rights, and therefore kills the baby.
Well, this is what was determined in that Roe versus Wade case, that the child is not a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the comment that Hillary made, that
yes,
the child in the womb has no constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she said, and then she turned right back around, called him a child, and called him a person.
Exactly. And so the reason they don't want to refer to the baby in the womb as a child is because that does what? It lets people know that we're not talking about a piece of tissue here,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see later on, if we get to it tonight, how that there are now, they don't even want to see the details in picture form of what's taking place so people can stay ignorant. That's what our government wants. They want to keep calling it fetus. They want to keep calling it abortion. They don't want to have ultrasounds where the mama can see the hear the heartbeat beforehand. They want to keep them in the dark so they can keep pulling the wool over their eyes. And again, I guess back to what we're finding here in Proverbs, isn't it?
Yes.
People do not know what's going on, but you're still held accountable. Well, I didn't know it was a baby when I aborted it.
Right.
You think that's going to matter to God?
They should have known. It's not God's fault that we don't know.
Exactly.
It's our fault that we don't know. Now, the number to call again, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We would love to hear from you. And we would like to hear what you have to say on this subject, whether it be a question or a comment. Now, Tom, there is some madness associated with this abortion and the inconsistencies of our government and our laws are just unbelievable. The inconsistencies, one of the great inconsistencies that we have, and we had this come up not just too long ago when this 12-year-old boy, one of his classmates was having an asthma attack, and he took out his asthma inhaler, gave his roommate a squirt of his asthma inhaler so that that individual could breathe again, and they expelled the kid because it was unlawful to administer any kind of a medication like that without a parental consent. So we have 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds that can be taken to a clinic during school hours and given an abortion without parental consent, but they can't even be given an aspirin or a breath of an inhaler for an asthma attack without the consent of the parent. How inconsistent is that? You can kill a child in the womb, but you can't give the child himself an aspirin.
You know, and it's beyond me. David, I've been thinking about that and trying to figure out any kind of rationale behind that. There is no rationale behind that kind of thing.
No.
Not being able to, you can't give an aspirin, but you can kill a baby. That just shows you how deeply sinking in sin our nation is. And, you know, I think, David, whenever somebody starts doing something wrong, they want to, you know, it's one thing for, you know, you have to say you got some buddies over there drinking. They're not satisfied with themselves drinking. What do they want to do?
They want to make everybody else around them drink.
Exactly right. And that's what's going on here, the same type of mentality. They're not satisfied with aborting and killing children, but they want to take a 13-year-old who doesn't – she's scared, right? She's what's her mom and dad going to do? She's scared. She's pregnant. And so they've given her an easy way out. Kill the child before your mom and dad knows. That is just how evil this thing has become.
No doubt. And you want to get down to the brass tacks. Of course, we already told about the vetoing of that bill that was sent before the House. A live child, he wouldn't even sign that to save a live child, a president that we now have. But this is something that doesn't start at the top down. It starts from the bottom up, and partial birth abortion used to, you know, this terminology wasn't even known until about the 70s or the 80s, maybe, when it was exposed. And when people got a hold of the pictures of the partial birth abortion taking place, they took it to Congress, and we had a congresswoman then in 1995, Patricia Schroeder. She moved to prohibit any showing of technically accurate graphics of the procedure. And these are the ones that want to talk about freedom of choice, but they don't want to let anybody know what actually is going on here.
How can you make a proper choice if you don't even have all the information?
And just layman's terms, let me explain this partial birth abortion. you can take the baby and kill him as long as his head hasn't come out. If you leave the head in the birth canal, you can kill that child, and that is called partial birth abortion. And that's what she didn't want Congress to see, so that they might act on this. Now, all the way back in that 1995 era, President Clinton twice vetoed a ban which even some pro-abortionists supported. He claimed that he was concerned about the life of the mother, yet the bill contained an exception for the life of the mother, and testimony showed that it's never necessary to save the life of the mother anyway in that particular case.
You know, people, you know, in 1995 in Arizona, Dr. John Bishkin delivered a full-term 6-pound, 2-ounce baby he was trying to abort. He fractured her skull, inflicted deep lacerations during the attempted abortion. Her injuries were not life-threatening, and she was adopted. If the child is bought out alive, it is a criminal offense to kill it. If only the body is brought out, it is illegal. It is legal. Now, David, let me ask you a question. It's legal. It's illegal to kill a baby after it's all the way out.
Right.
But it's not illegal to kill a baby if it's just part the way out.
Right.
How much sense does that make?
None. Absolutely none. But now, then, you see, we've taken this a step further with Obama.
Mm-hmm.
He refuses to sign the bill that says that you can save the baby when he's completely out of there and his heart is beating and he's breathing.
And so he would still say it doesn't have constitutional rights, right?
No, none whatsoever.
It's still a fetus, right? That's what he would say then.
Exactly.
Well, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see how ignorant this type of thing is.
Absolutely not. Now, here is what we really need to be concerned about, Tom, and it is the sanctity of human life. Now, God talks about this throughout the scriptures, and we'll get to some more of these scriptures in just a moment. But the sanctity of human life, we ask the question here on this program, and for those of you who have a phone, pick it up, give us a call. What is it that makes you a person? What is it that gives you worth? Now, here's something to think about. Is it whether or not you have passed completely out of the birth canal? Is it your location with reference to the womb? Or is it whether you are wanted by your mother?
You know,
which is it?
In our day and time, that's the way it is right there.
Yes.
If the mother wants the child, it's a child. If she does not want the child, it is a fetus.
Or tissue.
Or a tissue. You know, David, the California Supreme Court ruled that the killing of a fetus during the commission of a felony may
now,
be...
Now, let me just stop you there just a moment. You notice what they called it in California.
Fetus.
Yeah, they won't call it a baby.
Exactly.
The killing of a fetus. No, it's the killing of a human being. It is the killing of a baby. But they changed terminology so that everybody can be okay with it.
Yeah, and so it's interesting that they, calling it a fetus, a felony, was considered a first-degree murder, and the court declared it was careful not to exclude abortion. Now, I don't get this, David.
Okay, so read that to me again. The California Supreme Court ruled what now?
That the killing of a fetus or a baby during the commission of a felony may be considered first-degree murder. So, if a person is killing a woman, shoots her, and the baby dies, it's what?
It's first-degree murder.
First-degree murder. But abortion is not what? First-degree murder.
No, they
according
were
to what?
The California Supreme Court.
But it's the same entity, whether you call it a fetus or a baby, it's the same thing, right?
It's the very same thing.
But in one case, the mother wants the baby, and in another case, the mother does not want the baby.
So in one case it's a murder, in the other case it's see you later.
Just because of what the mother wants.
Exactly.
Well, You know, David, that just kind of makes me a little bit angry.
Well, you know, and you get back 2 weeks ago when we were talking about what Donald Trump got excoriated over when he was asked about what a woman or how a woman should be dealt with that had an illegal abortion. He said, I think a woman should be punished that has an illegal abortion. Well, then he walked it back. He had it right the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, she is the one that said, I want to kill this baby, even though it's too late. Too late. The baby is too old. And according to our goofy laws here in this country, if a baby gets past the 21-week period, it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It ought to be illegal a long time before then. But, okay, let's give you the 21 weeks. Now, why shouldn't she be held accountable? She's the one that went in there.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody forced her to go in there. Why should she not be held accountable for killing the same baby that the man committing a felony is going to do?
Yeah, you know, is it illegal for a man to take a pistol and shoot a 3-year-old child?
Certainly.
Well, he's held accountable, isn't he?
Certainly.
Because he broke the law.
Well, what if the mother? What if the mother paid him to do it?
The same difference, right?
Well, what if the mother paid a doctor to do it?
It's still illegal.
It is illegal. It ought to be punished, and there is no punishment there for somebody wanting to do something like that.
You know, David, also in Ohio, a man who forced a car being driven by a pregnant woman off the road was charged with homicide because the unborn child died in the crash. But the Ohio law prohibits killing an unborn baby except for abortion. So here's a man who kills a child in the womb through a car accident. He is guilty of murder, but on the same side of things, that same court of so-called justice says that abortion, the killing of a baby in the womb, is not murder. Now, where do you get off with that?
Well, it's not. So what we see here is, according to our laws and according to the people that we put in position to make these laws, getting us right back to Proverbs chapter 24. He said, if you forbear to help them that are being slain, that are being led to the slaughter, if you forbear to help them, you're going to be held accountable to God's wrath. And so here we have people that have been elected to these positions to make these laws, and we're throwing up our hands at, well, we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know. Or maybe we did know and we didn't care. And this is the problem. You see, what all of this means is that whether or not an unborn child is considered a person whose killing is murder is determined by whether or not the mother wants the baby. That is the key issue here.
And then there are some people, or a lot of people, then are taking advantage of that situation and making money.
Sure.
You know, that's what the Planned Parenthood is all about. You know, they think it's about taking care of the family and the mothers. But what do they say, like 85-90% of what goes on in Planned Parenthood is abortion?
Yes.
And selling of baby parts. It is a big money-making project. And that's why they have these ridiculous laws like this. It's for the profit. There is profit in killing babies.
Absolutely.
Isn't that a sad thing we're living in?
And this nothing new. Amos writes about it, 3,000 years ago. And yet the things that he's writing about, it's kind of like picking up the newspaper today. Everything that they were doing there about ripping up those women with a child was for an economic gain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we need to understand and what we need to ask ourselves is this: are we willing to accept the implication of the belief that whether or not you are a human being is dependent upon whether or not somebody wants you around? Tom, that's what we had with Auschwitz,
mm-hmm,
and Treblinka And you know, some people just didn't want these Jews around, and so they slaughtered them all. They mass slaughtered the Jews in Auschwitz and Treblinka because they just didn't want them around as people.
The number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. I want our audience to answer this question for a moment. What makes you a human being? What makes you human? What makes you a human being is the fact that you are made in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You know, David, no matter what we look like, no matter how healthy or sick we are, no matter how old or young we are, no matter if you're handicapped or not, everyone is created in the image of God. And does that not, David, give every person worth?
No doubt. There is absolutely no doubt. So really, no matter what you look like, and by the way, we had somebody write in on our chat box that you could be killed or murdered because you're black or you're female. Has nothing really to do with their beliefs. It just, you know, whether or not you're wanted or not by someone. So really, no matter what you look like, how healthy or sick you are, how old or young, or whether you're handicapped or whether you're not, you are a creation of God. And Tom, that is what gives you worth. That's what gives everybody worth, because we are all a creation of God.
Tom, what did God say was the value of one soul?
The whole world, right? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, it's a valuable thing. And it doesn't matter that someone wants you or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what gives people worth. And even if there were not a single person on the face of the earth who wanted to live, your soul is precious. Your soul is valuable. So precious that God was willing to do what, David?
He was willing to give his only begotten son that we might live.
That makes every single soul precious.
No doubt.
You know, God so loved the world that he gave. That includes everyone, every person. And so we cannot say just because you're not wanted that you're not valuable, but that's exactly what everyone who's involved in abortion, the murdering of a child, is saying. You're not viable. You're just a piece of tissue. You mean nothing.
Well, you see, the cross of Jesus Christ is the measure of the worth of every single human being. And that is God saying, I want you. I love you. Even if your mother does not, you are still precious and you are still valuable to me. Tom, the fact that we are the offspring of God, it gives us the right to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 27, we are told there that it is God that gives us life. It says in 17, in verse 27, it says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he not be far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and we have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring.
Mm-hmm.
The offspring of God. Now, why would anybody think that they could kill, murder the offspring of God and come away from that unscathed? Why would anybody believe anything like that?
They're not going to be unscathed. They're going to be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David, we see just how precious that children are. Right now, there are millions of people who are not with us here, but who should be here. Jesus said, for example, we think about the little children and the value of children. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6, it says, "But whosoever shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it is proper for him that a great millstone should be hanged about his neck and that he should be sunk into the depth of the sea." There, David, we see what God thinks about those who hurt children. Now, David, would you not say that the killing of an innocent child in the womb is as worse as a person can do to a child?
There's no doubt.
And God shows his contentment or his discontent with them, his disgust, by saying you need to have a big old rock tied around your neck and thrown into the sea. That's what God thinks about that kind of person.
Mm-hmm. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, there's seven things there that are mentioned that the Lord hates. They're an abomination to the Lord. And one of those things is hands that shed innocent blood. That would call for the hands of the abortionist. That would call for the hands of the mother who went in there to get the abortion. That would call for the hands of those individuals who are running the clinic. That would call for the hands of those representatives who made the law that say we're paying our taxes so that we can pay for somebody to kill their child. And that would involve the hands of the individuals that voted for that individual that said it was okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, David, abortion is not about the concern for women, is it?
No.
Abortion is about hedonism, being free from the consequences of illicit sex, being free from anything that hinders what we want. The bottom line is whether or not we will be God or God will be God. You see, people aren't concerned about what God says. That's our whole problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we're more concerned with what we want, what I want, what's going to make me feel right, what's going to affect my what I want, and are not concerned at all with what God said. The bottom line is God is not important.
David, Tom, abortion is always about me.
Mm-hmm.
The person that goes there to have abortion is because I don't want the burden of a child.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be an unwed parent. I don't want to sacrifice my economic gain. I don't, and it's always what I want, no consideration whatsoever for the life that's being considered.
Well, you know, and it goes even beyond that life. You know, when we were talking just a moment ago about being able to haul a 13-year-old girl down to an abortion clinic and get an abortion without the parents' consent, do you think that those grandparents of that baby would approve of what they were doing? The grandparents, you have just robbed the grandparents of one of the joys of their lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, as a grandparent,
mm-hmm.
There is nothing more. You know, I love my kids,
mm-hmm.
but there's something different about a grandchild.
No doubt.
Something special. And whenever you've taken that away from them, you have done a severe hurt, a severe, well, I don't know. It's just, I couldn't imagine having that done to me. And yet that's what's being done time after time. And the grandparents did not even have a choice.
No, they did. They weren't asked. And they say that they're pro-choice. They just made it anti-choice to every grandparent that ever lived if they did that. You see, Tom, God is the only one who gives the right to live. God. I just read an article the other day where Obama said, well, I'm not king. No, he's not king. He's a president and ruled by other representatives and branches of the legislative government that we have. Mm-hmm. He's not king. And yet he refused to sign a bill into law that said that you could save the life of a live baby. He's not king. He's playing God.
Exactly right. You know, it's interesting, David, that in Proverbs that we read a moment ago, in Proverbs chapter 16, I'm looking in Isaiah, but in Proverbs chapter 16, notice what he says about the king with regard to righteousness. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 12, it is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. David, would you say that the decision that Obama made with regard to the killing of a child outside the mother's womb, was that an act of wickedness or an act of righteousness?
There is absolutely nothing righteous about killing a child at any stage of the development of that human being. And by the way, when we get to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, we find that God knew him before he was even conceived. And so, you know, there's no way that we can look at this and think that it is not wickedness. Now, you either have it on one side of the fence or the other, just as the scriptures tell us here. It's either going to be wickedness on one side or righteousness on the other side. How do you straddle the fence between wickedness and righteousness and come out?
You're not going to.
It's either one or the other. This is not gray. There's nothing gray about this. We have made it gray with our laws. We have made it gray with our changing of the terminology. We have made it gray so that people can digest it easier.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always been wicked to God.
Exactly right. You know, and David, when you talk about changing terminology and all that, I can't help but think of Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and 21.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. David, that exactly explains what's going on in our day, calling murder abortion,
mm-hmm.
calling murder women's rights, calling murder something good.
Right.
That's what's taking place.
There's no doubt. Yeah, and you know, when Cecile Richards the other day said that she had hope in the country of America because so many women had made the choice to have abortions. My goodness, how evil, wicked can you get by saying something like that? Now, Tom, you know, all of this has been done so that people can be aware that we are going to be held responsible as children of God. Now, that doesn't mean that just because you're a heathen, you're not accountable to the righteous principles of God either. We are all going to be accountable for electing a representative that would kill babies by law. And that's what this program has been about for the last 3 weeks. And we would encourage each and every one of our listeners, find out who you're voting for and where they stand on this issue, because this issue is one of the most important issues to God.
Exactly right. And David, when we think about important issues, I believe really the most important issue of all is whether or not we're going to go to heaven.
Absolutely.
And the Bible is very clear on that, just as it is clear concerning abortion and that it is murder. The Bible is just as clear on what it takes to get to heaven. Jesus says in John 3, verse 16, that you're going to have to believe in him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God sent his Son in the world to die for us, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But David, for sadly for many, that's where a lot of people stop, isn't it? Just
yes.
That simple belief and faith. But the Bible says there's more to it than that.
We must repent. We've been told for the last 7 years America needs to pray. No, America needs to repent first. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to change our wicked ways to the righteous ways of God. And that calls for repentance on our part, a turning away from those unrighteous things. Once we repent, we must confess the sweet name of Jesus before men, and upon that confession, we are to be baptized into that watery grave of baptism, into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, for the forgiveness of those sins. Right then, right there, we stand holy before God. We take the word of God. We guide our lives by the faith that is in the book. And we all can then go to heaven together.
You know, and it's not all that difficult. Simply doing what the Bible says. You know, David, we've had a very good discussion over the last several weeks about abortion and whether or not it is a woman's right or it is a murder. I think we've established very clearly from the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
That it is indeed murder, and no one has the right to take the life of another person. And David, we mentioned a moment ago how a lot of this revolves really around two things, self and money.
Mm-hmm.
We allow self and money to get in the way of being what is right. And again, I want to remind our audience that it is righteousness that exalts a nation. And so when we look at our candidates, look for righteousness. That is the key to a great nation.
Amen. Amen. We have just a few minutes here left on the program. We'd like to recognize our sponsors because this program would not be possible without them. We have the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas as one of our sponsors, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas. The Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas. The Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas. The Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. The Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. The Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas. The Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. And we also have some individual contributors and donors to this program. And by the way, Tom and I and Frank, we don't take a penny of our contributions. It all goes toward airtime, and we do this out of a love for the Word, and we don't take a dime out of this at all. But we want to recognize some of our individual contributors, the Hansons out of Weatherford, the Swigerts out of the Metroplex, the Keeters out of Iredale, the Forehands out of Hamilton, and the Moors from Dripping Springs, and there are others that contribute to this program by their prayerful thoughts and prayers lifted up on behalf of the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible, and we appreciate each and every one of you. Tom, you got the last word.
It's been great to have you with us tonight. We hope you listen in next time right here on this channel to the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible.
Great.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Morning by morning, new mercies I see.